music, news, information. Weekday mornings from 11.
This is Northside Today.
On the line now, I have Emma Reedy, who is manager with Avonis Women and Children's Refuge. Good morning, Emma.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me.
And thanks very much for taking the call. I know you're at an event there and you had to leave to take the call, but so thank you very much for that. We're going to talk about Make a Christmas Appeal, but before that, you want to mention this 16 Days campaign.
Yes, thanks, John. We are in the middle of the 16 Days of Action Opposing Violence Against Women, and it's an international event that hosts a number of events around the world with two main priorities. The first, to look at the experience of violence against women and children around the world, and secondly, how as communities we might, you know, respond to that in a more proactive way. And with that in mind, Avonis, like every other year, takes on the campaign. And on the 25th of November, last Friday, we launched the 16-day appeal with a commemorative design in the refuge, which allowed us to open our doors to invited guests and media to represent what the design was and promote more insight into our work in Avonis. So the design itself is titled Courage is the Key, and it was really to promote that over the last 20 years, from 1996 to 2016, 209 women have been murdered in Ireland. Our design shows 209 closed doors, each door representative of a life lost. And then on the last door, the 210th door, is an open door. And that's symbolic of the fact that Avonis, like other services, can work together to prevent another life being lost to violence in Ireland if we all get behind the campaign and promote a call to action. So it's quite a poignant design, but we hope that within the community it will, I suppose, get people thinking about what each of us can do to be proactive in responding to abuse within the home.
Yeah, and it'll let people know that there are people there willing to help. It must be a very lonely place to be if there's a woman and she's suffering from domestic violence or finding it very hard to get out of that situation. And you made a point there about the amount of women who unfortunately have been killed, and it makes people realise that domestic violence is very, very serious and can actually lead to death.
Yeah, like, I suppose, you know, for a number of cases that we're aware of, we know that domestic violence or abuse within the home starts systematically. It doesn't end with an isolated incident, maybe involving a serious injury or a fatality. It builds over time. And I think that for that reason, we know that for women and children that are certainly experiencing abuse in the home, they have an acute awareness of what's going on and how that's escalating. But by and large, a lot of people that have an association to the woman and children in those situations have an awareness of what's going on as well. And that's very much what we want to promote in both our campaign and maybe what also the COST campaign is about that was recently launched, is that as bystanders, we have an important role to play in also assisting, reporting and responding to violence in the home, and whatever awareness we have of it in either a direct or indirect manner.
Now, I think I read a report recently that the Gardaí are beginning to take this more serious. And is there special training being done within the Gardaí to deal with domestic violence? Did you hear anything about that, Emma?
Yeah, I think that the Gardaí are hopefully in the latter stages of developing their policing plan, and they hope to launch that next year in 2017. I think what's been happening with An Garda Síochána has been happening in a local or regional setting, and I know services like Avonis have been within 2016 taking on very specialised training with Gardaí to ensure that we can guarantee both at a local and a regional level a better response to women and children when and if they reach out for Garda assistance. But by and large, there isn't, as of yet, a national programme that would take into consideration specialist Garda training. We are hoping that where cross-departmental work is happening, and like that with the COST campaign through the Department of Justice, that there will be renewed resourcing and funds made available to agencies to train Gardaí up and to take on a very proactive response where it comes to, again, the investigation and the response they provide to victims and survivors of domestic violence.
And what would your opinion be on education, like going into schools, primary schools? I'm not sure. I think Women's Aid have a programme where they go into schools, but I'm not sure about primary schools, to educate educate young men to have respect for young women.
Yeah, I think it's highly important, the need to promote education pieces as young an age as possible. And that's all under the preventative pieces, to ensure that, you know, both girls and boys have a very good association of what a healthy relationship looks like, even if they don't necessarily have that modelled in the home. At EGNIS, we do provide training within schools, secondary schools and then colleges. But as I'm aware, no services at this point in time provided earlier within, you know, children of school going primary school age. And that's really something that, as a preventative piece, we need to get resourcing to provide for. Because what we'd identify that our biggest cohort of children that we supported through the refuge and outreach service for us last year was between 4 years of age and 8 years of age. So we know that the majority of the children that are seeing being exposed to violence are between that age group. And that's unfortunately an age group that, unless we're getting to support them through our refuge or outreach facility, we're not necessarily getting, you know, exposure to in the community. So hugely important if we're thinking about our future generations and, you know, breaking ultimately the cycle of both the victim and perpetrator cycle in what is likely to, you know, reoccur because, you know, normalised patterns are so, you know, comfortable to children that maybe experience it from a very young age.
Now, I think the last time we spoke, I mentioned this to you. It's something that galls me. That I deal with homeless organisations as well. And recently, it's coming to notice that there are women and children presenting themselves as homeless, as you know, you run a refuge, because they have to leave a family home. What's the story? Why is the perpetrator not made leave the family home? Is there a lack of legislation?
Well, there's a lack of legislation, one, but there's a lack of where there is some safety within the legislation. There's a lack of utilisation within it. And I think that part of the campaign focus that we're trying to really emphasise on at the moment is that for a long time now, you know, for the last 20, you know, nearly 30 years that EGNIS has been in operation, the emphasis has always been on women and children responding and remedying their own situations, so seeking the help for themselves to make things better. And we feel that's a very flawed system that we have. And the emphasis, in fact, should be on, you know, making the perpetrator accountable and responsible for their actions, ensuring that the supports come to the woman within her home, and then the perpetrator, by virtue, is asked to leave. And I think we've some way to go yet in relation to that. I think that where safety becomes so sort of a risk to women and children, it makes sense in some situations for them to get out for fear of a very serious injury, to get out of the house and to access immediate safety. But the emphasis should really always be on a woman and child having the opportunity to return back to her home, her community, all that is familiar and comfortable to them in that. And unfortunately, at the moment, both legislatively and from kind of an EU and national directive, that isn't necessarily, the focus that we all operate from. And I would like to point out for a lot of your listeners that, you know, we're hearing every day about the homeless epidemic, and by and large, women and children that are made homeless due to domestic violence are not even counted as homeless in Dublin or in Ireland, or in Ireland's national figures. And we feel there's a real injustice attached to victims and survivors of domestic violence that they're not even counted by virtue of their homelessness in the national data. And that's where we'd identify that it's hugely underestimated when you take into consideration that we have 22 refuges in Ireland and a number of other community-based supports that are all the time accommodating women and children left homeless due to their situation, and they're invisible when it comes to national data.
That's disgraceful. I didn't actually realise that, Emma. That's a national disgrace.
A lot of people don't unfortunately realise it, and that's something we'd like to, you know, to raise a lot of awareness around, I think.
Yeah, it should be. It should be put out there. I think you told me as well that children that were there previously with their mothers are now presenting themselves suffering the same thing. Is that correct?
Yeah, I suppose we've seen, and you know, we're so long now providing a service. We're 28 years. We'll be 30 years in 2018. And we've seen with the length of time that we provide that service that now we're seeing an intergenerational, repeat access of our service. So this year, for the first year, we've seen a number of admissions whereby women are presenting having been resident as children within our service. And that really very much goes back to the point that I would have made earlier about the preventative nature of needing to stop the cycle as early as possible in a child's life, because the research would indicate that women or girls that are exposed to domestic violence have a preoccupation or a predisposition to maybe enter into unhealthy or abusive relationships, and like that, young boys have a predisposition to enter into criminality. So we really need to look at that as a serious issue to ensure that we're treating girls and boys as a younger age as possible around their earliest experience of maybe abuse in the home, and ensuring that we don't see them in years later accessing either the service as victims or perpetrators.
Right, you should be very proud of yourself, Emma, and your staff and your volunteers for the service you're providing for these women and children. Now, when women come to you, they don't have access to money, and coming up to Christmas, that must be very hard.
It is, John, and I suppose we're very, we're very aware that every one of us have, very much a demand coming up to Christmas, where we're very much associating Christmas with, gift buying, preparing for, family get-togethers. And the reality is for the families that we provide, because we provide a service throughout the year, 365 days a year, is that, that will not happen for, many of our families. And we're very aware for that reason that we try and create or replicate as happy a festive experience as possible for our families. And we take really nothing for granted in that situation. So we'd work intensively with a lot of our clients to ensure that they have the financial means maybe to provide for Santa presents, to provide for gifts for their children, as we're very aware that that might be the only gift that in a lot of cases that they might receive this Christmas.
Now, you do accept gifts in Avenis.
We do. We've launched a Christmas appeal, John, and it's, I suppose, a wish list-driven toy appeal. And what, we ask for, and to acknowledge the generosity of the community, it's been immense over the last years. And, this year is like no other. We still see a lot of our clients in huge financial, you know, need, and we're asking the community to deliver like other years for us, to where they can, you know, check us out through our website or our Facebook. We're new to Facebook, and to find out about how they can give to families this Christmas. And it is our aim to provide for every family, or every family that's accessed our service this year, to provide for a gift for them. So the key is in the community getting behind us for that, finding out about what maybe gifts we're looking for with regard to our families, and ensuring that obviously our families get thought of this Christmas.
And as regards toys for the children, it has to be new toys due to health and safety.
Yeah, we generally say, I suppose, ordinarily we'd accept second-hand donations all year round, but at Christmas time we ask our donors maybe to consider, because it is, you know, in a lot of cases the only gift a child or a woman might receive this Christmas, that it is new. It's with the thought of that being, you know, something exciting and novel for them, that it's with the newness attached to it. So where possible, we would ask that from our donors. But there are some guidelines that we promote through our wish list and our gift buying guidelines, and people can check that out on, again, our Facebook or our website if that's something that they would like to do. And I would just, I suppose, like to express that, you know, with, and like for all charities, we're very much aware that it is generosity of our donors that allow us to provide for the gift giving to families. And we're very aware that we follow very strict guidelines and observations in relation to recording of those donations coming in versus those donations coming out. So just to promote a reassurance within the community and to listeners on that basis also is very important.
And what's the website, Emma?
The website is www.evenus.ie, and you can find us on Facebook on or under Evenus Women and Children's Refuge.
Evenus Women and Children's Refuge.
And okay. Maybe just also to mention, John, our commemorative design, it really is a very poignant and impactful design that would be travelling around the community throughout the 16 days. We happen to be in Coolock Library today, we're at the Civic Centre also today, and then we visit a number of other destinations like Colossia Doolig, Durrisbury Youth Reach, St Helena's Resource Centre, as well as Trinity College over the course. So if people are around, you know, they can check out our schedule also on our Facebook. And I really encourage, you know, to get behind our call to action and to check the design and the piece out in their own right.
It is. It's great. It's a wonderful cause. And it's an awful shame that it's necessary, but it is necessary, unfortunately, in this day and age. You're doing great work. And thank you very much for taking the call, Emma.
Appreciate it. Thanks very much, John.
Thank you, and happy Christmas to you. I know it's a bit
thank
early.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emma.
Thanks very much, John. Bye-bye.
Yes, Emma Reedy there, manager with Avenus Women and Children's Refuge. And go on to their Facebook page, Avenus Women and Children's Refuge, or www.avenus.ie. And if you can, you give them something, because there's women and children down there, and the women haven't got access to money, and it's Christmas time, and it's children.
Across Northeast Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM.